Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nevishesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vas Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we have heard already about these young unmarried gopi girls and how much they loved Krishna. We heard how much they wanted to marry him, and they had become emaciated and anxious and troubled because they could not figure out, they could not work out how they could achieve their goal. Then we heard how Vrindadevi was extremely kind to them and appeared as a yogini and gave them a mantra which they cherished with their whole hearts. And then we heard how they, following the instructions of Vrindadevi, they performed their Katyayani Vrat for one whole month, going early in the morning in the freezing cold weather, chilling cold bath in the Jamuna, and then doing their puja to Devi and every offering they made. They never deviated their attention, was single-minded and pointed. Please give us Krishna. Please give us Krishna. They were thinking and praying and meditating continuously like this. Then we heard last class how Krishna reciprocated with them. In our last class, we heard how the gopis were now in a very difficult situation. They could not comply with Krishna's request to come out of the water, and then he would give them back their clothes. They could not comply with his request, and yet the longer they waited, the greater the possibility that somebody else might come along and see them there. Therefore, they discussed this matter anxiously amongst themselves. One gopi said, "Our beloved is very stubborn on this point, and we have been caught out by our own words saying, 'We are your maid servants and we'll do whatever you please.'" Another replied, "What you say is true. And moreover, if we delay much longer and if someone else witnesses this incident, that would be worse than our death." And thus they decided, we should give up our stubbornness and abide by his stubbornness. We should give up our desire and fulfill his desire. After speaking like that, they slowly rose up out of the water. Agitated by waves of love, the gopis now prepared to take Krishna's order seriously. Rising up from the Jamuna, they covered their bodies with their thick, long, dark hair that hung all the way down to their feet. surrounded by their dark curly locks. Their lotus faces looked like many glowing moons encircled by the essence of darkness. The beauty of their eyes eclipsed the beauty of blue lotus petals, and their graceful movements conquered the gliding of elegant swans. Their small tender feet had become completely numb from the cold. The girls were still very shy, but due to the awakening of bliss within their hearts, they were also very joyful. The forces of shyness tried to pull them back and waged war within them with the forces of desire that was pushing them forward. And thus they moved forward very slowly. When they came to waist level water, they stopped and they stood there, hesitating and joking with one another. Osaki, one said, "You go first." No, you go first. Thin-waisted girl, you go first. No, you go. No, you go first. No, you go first. No. In that lonely place, Krishna watched them and gently relished this splendid conversation, which sounded like the cooing of doves. The gopis struggled because of their moral character, which equaled their attraction to Krishna, subdued their ecstatic bliss. Glancing restlessly here and there from the corners of their eyes, they very, very slowly came to the river's bank. Now their delicate lotus-like hands became their lower garments, and their long hair became their upper garments. The younger girls stood in the front, and the older girls hid behind, crouching down as if they were hunchbacks. Krishna looked at the girls with astonishment and cleverness. Do you know what he thought? He thought, "These girls, born in saintly families, wish to hide themselves from me. The reason is that they fear that I might reject them. Their eagerness to attain me has stunned them, and their fear that I will make them unhappy has stunned me and made me motionless. Sitting high up in the Kadamba tree, Sri Krishna placed their garments so the gopis could see them. Then, smiling with a smile that was meant to bind the girls in ropes of love, he spoke to test them even further. "Oh, beautiful young girls," he said, A person doing a vrat should never take bath unclothed in a river. What's more, they should remain silent and sober when taking their bath. By doing otherwise, you have all offended Jamuna Devi. And by playing in the water while looking at the bank, you have also offended the Devatas. None of this is proper conduct for righteous people. However, since you acted out of ignorance, if you want to achieve the results of your vrat, your offenses can be removed by following my advice. The young gopis listened to Krishna's clever words and they thought, we should do what he suggests, although we cannot guess what he will say next. But still, if we do not comply, then the results of our vrat will be destroyed. Thinking thus, they spoke amongst themselves. Understanding their minds, Krishna said, O young girls, your glances fly hither and thither like the fearful eyes of a chakora bird. Please hear my words that can remove all your offenses, all the offenses you made during your vrat. You can wipe away all your sins just by offering respect to me. If you do that with great faith and devotion, you will receive the desired result. O beautiful young girls, offer your respects by placing your joined palms above your head. So here, Krishna was testing them. He was testing them. He wasn't testing them because they were faulty and needed to pass a test. And he wasn't testing them because he was reserving something in case they failed the test. Rather, he was testing them so that we who hear this pastime can understand their greatness, and then we can pass our test. Speaking in this way, Krishna wanted to remove all their fear and shyness that stood between them and their desired goal. And this is how the girls thought. This is our worshipable husband. Whatever he requests, we must do. Whatever he wants, we will do. And then, without any fear, they offered their hearts in obeisances to Krishna. O Master, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. They said this as they folded their hands above their heads. Krishna lovingly gazed at the girls and then he spoke. You have greatly pleased me. I feel the utmost limit of love for you. Now, dress yourselves in your auspicious clothes. Saying this, he took all their clothes on his shoulders and he came down from the tree. In order to exchange words with each one of them personally, he took some time in returning their garments. He would ask them, calling them by name, "Is this one yours? Is this your clothes?" And gradually and slowly, in a very playful way, he returned all the garments to the girls. Even though Krishna had robbed them of their garments and teased them in so many ways and treated them like toy dolls, they were not even slightly angry with him. Where love is present, even hostile words become pleasing and affectionate by nature. Now, holding their shimmering garments in their hands, the girls appeared like a cluster of golden lotuses bedecked with flags. Their cloth now became prasad, and they treasured it. After carefully putting on the clothes, now fragrant with the touch of Krishna's lotus hands, they stood there, stunned. I could not move. Even without touching Krishna, they felt his powerful embrace. The one for whom they had performed such severe austerities was now right in front of them, and they wanted to remain there always. Krishna's young gopa friends became restless and they pulled one another because they were wanting now to go, while the girls stood there motionless, waiting in anticipation. As is done in a marriage ceremony, they wanted to touch Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna told them, "My dear young girls, even before the desired tree of your determination sprouted, I knew what was in your minds. I knew everything. I have performed this astonishing pastime just to increase your love. By ordering you harshly, I tested the purity of your affection. Attracted to me, you submissively obeyed my beneficial orders, and therefore I have manifest eternal love in your hearts. Your desire is pure, eternally existing and full of rasa. the girls expected that Krishna would perform a Gandhava marriage ceremony right there and then. But he promised to consummate the marriage on a future night. "You are Kanya," he said, "or young maidens, and you are not independent. You have to go back and be under the control of your parents. Your desires will be fulfilled, but for now, go back to Vraj. Your worship will not be unfruitful." Then the gopis cried tears of happiness. Without responding, they just stood with a disturbed look in their eyes. They murmured amongst themselves. Krishna said, "Now return to Vrindavan. Stop whispering together like thirsty Chataki birds. You have attained eternal perfection. Soon we will enjoy together during a long festive night." The girls bowed down to him in silence. Their eyes experienced first his eyes and then his beautiful red lips and then his arms and then his waist, his hips, his thighs, his knees, and his feet. When they separated from him and returned to Vraj, they saw all of those limbs within their hearts continuously. With their sidelong glances, the gopis appeared to be showering Krishna with a flood of blue lotus petals. They returned to Vraj with great difficulty. Krishna robbed the gopis' clothes and their hearts. Their garments he returned, but he did not return their hearts. This is a carefully hidden secret. From the moment they arrived back, every day, every moment, every second, they anxiously waited for the time that he had promised to enjoy with them in the upcoming nights. And whenever they saw the clothes that he had carried on his shoulders and smelt the fragrance, they became deeply immersed in love for him. Their relationship would remain a secret as they waited in great anxiety for the time when he would exchange love with them as a husband and a wife. And that is why on the Rasa Leela night, when they heard the sound of Krishna's flute, which was personally calling each one of them by their own names. They ran from their homes like the river flowing to the ocean. So this is the pastime of Krishna stealing the gopis' clothes. One final message. It is very, very important, if we wish to properly understand this pastime, to remember the nature and the contrast between our modern culture and the strict purity of the Vedic culture in which these gopis were living. In contrast to our modern-day liberality in regards to sensuality, their culture absolutely condemned any male-female contact outside of marriage. It was so firm that for a girl to be missing overnight outside the care of her parents was enough to ensure that no respectable person would consider marrying her. This was the setting for this Leela. It is not taking place in the world that we experience today with its modern values. Practically speaking, all these young girls could not marry Krishna together. It was obviously impossible. There were so many of them and only one Krishna. But Katyayani had promised to fulfill their worthy desire and in a special way. As we heard previously, they themselves wanted this marriage to be a secret. So Krishna came and he acted just as if he was their husband, teasing them and speaking with the natural intimacy of a husband. In Vedic times, it was only a husband who could see his wife unclothed. But as we heard, the gopis were frightened. What if Krishna did not accept them? Then their lives would be ruined. Everything would be lost. No husband and no respectability. This, in essence, was the threshold that he wanted them to cross. They were ready. They were faithful. But they were afraid. It takes quite some time for the souls like ourselves who are in material bondage to understand the deep significance of this pastime, as well as the absolute necessity for developing faith to allow us to step beyond our misconceptions into the hands of our real master and the husband of our souls. Thank you. Hare Krishna.